I'm not the worst coach in this league. Right now, I'm not the best coach in this league. I'm striving to be that. I think I'm getting better every year. I do think I coach my ass off, and you work hard, and you keep your head down, and you keep it moving.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is live at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. The sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Ira is out sick today. Unfortunately, he's got the flu. It's official, and he's struggling a bit, but we still march on. Sage is part of this podcast, so do not go away. And we have a special guest in head coach Todd Bowles in a sit-down here where fans are going to have their eyes opened a little bit on a couple of things for sure, even some breaking news in here, so that's exciting. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry, drive Curry. Don't worry, drive Curry. 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, a third-generation family business. That's Bill Curry Ford. Now, you want to shop at their website, BillCurryFord.com, or get to their beautiful, brand-new showroom, state-of-the-art. They are fantastic over there. However you choose to interact with Bill Curry Ford, they are top shelf. Don't forget the Ira Kaufman discount. And don't forget all those offers that are at the homepage at BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Not only will you find a purchase coupon there, you will see 2024 F-150 models up to $10,000 off MSRP. 3.9% financing is available. Also at BillCurryFord.com, Ford Certified Gold Pre-Owned, 5.9% APR financing is available. BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan also has the Ira Kaufman discount for you. And he is our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. And he'll be out here with us later in the week at the Combine, which is pretty exciting. BillCurryFord.com. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration for helping us be out here at the Combine, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. They're a one-stop shop whenever you have a disaster at your property, flood, fire, mold, storm damage, water damage, whatever it is, you call them first 24/7 before you call your insurance company. After evaluating your property, they'll go to battle against your insurance company to make sure you get what you need and work with them so you have your property restored. If you even need it restored, sometimes things aren't as they seem. Florida's Elite Restoration is a licensed mold remediation specialist. Just call them. Put them in your plan. If you have a disaster, you'll know who to call and who to trust. See their 5-star Google reviews. They also have an Ira Kaufman discount, $500. Just mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you first call. And if you need them, that's what you'll get. And Florida's Elite Restoration can do all your repairs as needed after your restoration is complete. One-stop shop, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Lee, we're here at the Combine, and we're jumping right into it. I got to tell you, we're going to share a lot of body language here on this podcast because the fans can't see the way Jason Light and Todd Bowles are answering questions, but we're able to see it, and sometimes that tells a lot more than the actual words. I got to say, Lee, my biggest body language reaction, maybe you have a different one, we can go over some other ones, but man, when Jason Light answered a question about Jamel Dean and his future on this team, man, Light looked like head down, not, you know, kind of somber tones. We'll see, and talking about availability and lack of availability. Just if I had to bet money, I'd say Jamel Dean's not on the team next year.
I didn't notice Jason Light's body language on that answer, but I noticed his answer. It was anything but reassuring. It wasn't anything about this guy's a stud. He's got a chance to be a Pro Bowl player. He's our starter. None of that. None of that. I mean, you could tell just by the way coaches and GMs, the way they answer about a player. You know, they've come flat out. It's like, we're depending on him. He's going to be a starter. He's got a chance. Well, then you know he's safe. When they start hemming and hawing and, you know, anything but saying he's our starter, anything but saying he's going to be a star, anything but we're counting on him, that's a red flag.
One guy they're counting on the flip side, Servasio Dennis. Body language on Jason Light, perked up, energy. Oh, yeah, he'll be ready, OTAs, and we're excited about him, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's even said that he looked like one, for tiny stretches when he played, looked like one of the best linebackers in the league.
And they missed him, he said.
And
we, or Bull said that, yeah.
And we saw that, obviously, on the field. But, you know, that you know, I agree with you. The answer about Dean, telling.
You brought up Servasi Dennis, and I jumped ahead a little bit, mentioning Bowles. Bowles basically came out and said when he was injured, it hurt the defense.
Yeah, well, we saw it. I mean, look, they went to
K.J. Britt
in a more full-time role.
Yeah.
And Russell, and you know, didn't have the speed, just not the same player that Dennis was. I mean, Dennis, you know, we've talked about him before, played 104 snaps last year. Let's, you know, 1,000 would be really what we're looking for, you know, from a guy like that, 900 at least, you know, with some small injuries. But he's obviously healthy from his shoulder surgery. And I like the fact that obviously didn't affect his legs and his speed that they need. So there was that and on the body language front. The body language and the ramble from Todd Bowles. When I asked Bowles, hey, look, you know, there's a lot of questions for the coaches here, right?
Sure.
We got the coach on the podium. We've got the coach on the sidebar here. And we have the coach on the Ira Kaufman podcast. I don't hear him on any other podcast.
That's not counting Pro Football Talk. That's not counting CBS. Not counting SiriusXM NFL Radio.
When I asked him in the side scrum with local reporters, hey, you know, coach, look, every year you're trying to do something with your defense. Want to get faster, want to get bigger. You know, they always have some sort of focus. Like, take last year when we were here, it was get bigger on the offensive line. Cody Mack is going to gain weight. We're going to go out and get some guys that are bigger. Graham Barton, we didn't know they were going to sign him or draft him, but bigger than Hainsey, stronger than Hainsey. So that was a goal. So I asked Bowles about that this year, and he says, ball hawks. I want ball hawks.
And that ain't Jamel Dean.
And he goes on a ramble about what a ball hawk looks like and how it doesn't have to be a cornerback, etc. But everything he said and the way his emphasis, it wasn't Jamel Dean.
No.
And fans got to realize if Jamel Dean gets cut, they're going to save about $8.5 million in salary cap space. Now, they won't have to pay him cash, but that's space and they want to use that space. I don't know. I'm not sure if he looks like a candidate for restructuring or what.
I kind of thought he was a couple months ago. I kind of thought he was. And, you know, I was talking with someone today and just, you know, and Bowles, he was not answering any questions about Jamel Dean, but he was answering about questions that players have to be on the field.
Yeah.
And again, it was not a question about Dean, but that spoke volumes. He was so emphatic about you could be the best ball player in the world. If you're not on the field, it doesn't mean a damn thing.
Okay, more back to the body language. Jason Light's response about Jordan Whitehead, the body language said, I'm not sure he's going to be here. We have some things to work out.
That was a big body language thing.
Okay. Now, that was sort of reinforced a little later when Todd Bowles talked about, we're looking at moving Tyke Smith back to safety. You know, he wants to play there. Now, I followed up with Bowles and said, you know, is he not uncomfortable at nickel and this and that? Why, you know, what's going on? And Bowles like, oh, no. He wants to play safety because safeties are on the field 100% of the time. And we want him on the field. We're going to look at it. Well,
and oh, by the way, full-time players get paid more.
Eventually, sure. And so you look at Whitehead, the body language there, and the fact that Tyke Smith wants to play safety full-time, and they're looking at it, and Whitehead would represent a small savings in the cap if they were to let him go. So, you know, a lot of things between the lines here.
Oh, very much so. And unfortunately, there was some body language in the answering of questions concerning Chris Godwin.
Yes. Shape-shifting, break-dancing, anything to not really discuss Chris Godwin.
Other than the
status.
Fact that they want him back.
They want him back. They love Chris Godwin. What they're trying to make sure, and it's clear to me, they want to put out there, major injury. And, you know, we need to make the right decision for the football team, not because of Chris Godwin, the man, the player, the warrior, the devoted team-first guy, but because of injury. And there's a time clock here ticking to March 12th. We don't know what he's going to look like.
Yep. Well, also, in not so body language, but what was said was, and you can read between the lines, and you and I both do, Bowles was asked what positions is he focused on this week at the Combine, looking at, interviewing players, et cetera. What were the four positions? He said the three obvious.
And then he said?
He said wide receiver.
He did. I thought that was a little bit telling.
Yes.
Especially since Bowles said he wants to see the wide receivers. He was being very personal with that. So you just don't know. I was sniffing around a little bit on the Godwin situation. and I didn't get a straight answer on whether the team has seen him run. You know, there's been no social media video that I've looked around, haven't seen anything like that. So it's possible he's not even running yet. Now,
yeah,
are they going to hand over a fat contract to a guy that they hasn't run yet? What I can tell fans confidently is that whatever Godwin's price tag is, it's going to be less than what people think it might be when the, you know, when we're talking $20 million plus and all that. No, it's not going to get there.
Yeah. And if the Bucs are convinced he can come back from the injury, they're going to be okay with paying that, it seems like.
They'll pay whatever they can for a healthy Chris Godwin,
yeah,
but
is he going to be healthy? They don't
know. You got to kind of know. So,
and I can't, going back to Jamel Dean, I can say this. I've heard through the grapevine that there is not a consensus, pro or con, about Jamel Dean. Some people on the defensive coaching staff are not fond of him. Others are. And that was before, you know, the cap space, long before the combine. This was late last season. So if I had to bet, I don't think Dean's back, if I had to bet.
I wouldn't bet on it. Not today, for sure. But
yeah, not from what we've heard.
We shall see. Levante David, of course. I think it's been very straightforward as far as the body language. I don't think anybody's BSing anybody.
No, if he wants to come back, he's here. Period.
No, not even that. Just that they don't know.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
I think they were very upfront with that.
Yes. They're saying we don't know if he's coming back or not. He hasn't decided, and I believe them. There was no weirdness with the with the body language, and I even had talked to people yesterday. We're recording here Tuesday, Radio Row at the NFL Scouting Combine. So, as Jason Light said, not concerned, so that's good.
Oh, about McCollum, he said McCollum most of the time played very well, but he said McCollum got bored. And I'm like, bored? And I'll be honest with you, Steve, I've heard that before, not about McCollum, but in general in sports, not many times. I've heard that a few times, not many times. But when I've heard that used, bored, in reference to a player, it was usually about star players, that they're so freaking good that their play bores them.
Yeah, sometimes.
Ted Williams, for example, I heard stories where he was so bored when he played the outfield, he was taking imaginary swings. I've only heard that about star players, and Bowles said that McCollum, he thought, got bored, and then he started taking chances because he was bored. And other than that, Bowles said he played very well, and Bowles generally doesn't throw out compliments a whole lot. So when he said he played very well, and the only time he didn't was when he was bored, maybe the Bucs have somebody special on the roster.
You know, the bored thing was an interesting choice of words, and, you know, a lot of times a player like McCollum, who is well-known for studying and being very devoted,
athletic,
extreme athlete, he knows the defense at this point. He's got it mastered. He's in it. And, you know, he's not finding ways to necessarily stimulate himself like that right fielder who, you know, yeah, you got to be on your toes at every pitch, you know, and mm-hmm. maybe he's not that guy, but they're gonna beat that out of him. And if they don't, well, then he'll be a guy who misfires on some things and isn't always in perfect position. You know, it sounds like McCollum might need to just spend an afternoon with Rondé Barber and talk about how do you dial in to perfection and stay on every little detail on every play.
Or Tristan Wirfs shrink.
Yeah, or that, yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's scared or having nightmares, but it was an interesting way to describe McCollum. So, Lee, we've got Todd Bowles, as promised, and fans need to listen closely because Bowles dives into a couple of things here that haven't been said elsewhere.
No.
And there's a lot to digest here as far as his feelings about fans being hard on him. We talked to him about that. Clock management. We got some breaking news in here that, well, it'll be up on Joe Bucks Fan soon, but it came here first out of this podcast.
And some very interesting detail.
Yeah, so hang in there and enjoy this interview. And remember, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you shop for a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. And be prepared with our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElitereStoration.com whenever you have any kind of disaster at your property. All right, here's the coach. All right, always the highlight of the Ira Kaufman podcast. The coach, Todd Bowles, is here. Coach, I'll let you get on Ira for being out sick today, calling in at the combine. Unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. Ira, and I thought I saw your car at Club Odyssey the other night about 3, 4 in the morning. You might be getting in late, Ira. We got to talk about this.
Yeah, he's spending all his money in singles. Coach, I do have a couple of questions from Ira.
Yeah.
So, you know, because you know he can't sit on the sidelines for sure. He says, Todd, and he actually wrote it like that. Situational football is becoming a critical part of how the game is played. Use of timeouts, when to go for it on fourth down, whether to go for two-point conversions, etc. Who do you rely on for game day help in these areas, maybe even before the game? And do you feel you have grown as a decision maker in managing these decisions?
I think it's a very important part of the ball game. We have people up in the box. I rely on two or three people up in the box that rely on for game day decisions. But we've gotten better. We can be even more better this year. Still looking for somebody to fill that role, possibly full time. And I've been conducting interviews that way. But I feel like the game, really, once it gets past the minus 40 right now, as long as it's not fourth and 20, a lot of people are going for it. I think I've gotten aggressive last year, but it's mostly been fourth and one or two, and not really the six or seven type of range, depending on where it is. But it's definitely something that I thought we could be better at, that I could be better at as a coach, and as well as getting help doing that. But we got to have a prolific offense in order to try to want to do that as well.
So two, three voices, meaning two or three voices have access to you at any given time to talk about clock management?
Definitely.
Okay.
And that's upstairs?
Yes.
That's not counting the guys downstairs?
Not counting the guys downstairs. They don't have access. They don't make those decisions.
But
they don't make those decisions downstairs.
Seriously, though, Todd.
But that fascinates me, yeah.
How does that work? Do they all have a channel where they can talk at the same time? Or is it an open channel? Or is it one?
It's one at a time. Okay. And depending on the situation, I know who I have to talk to. You know when it's 2 minute, when you have certain timeouts, when you know whether you want to get the ball back or whether it's fourth and short, what part of the field you want to go for it. You have those situations on second and third down. You don't have them on fourth down. You kind of have them before that, and you kind of go through the scenarios that way, and they kind of put a bug in your ear. After you get the play calls in and everything else, they put a bug in your ear and start looking at this, start looking at that, and then you constantly make that decision as you go.
If a coach wants to talk to you in the headset, let's say, for example, the guy's upstairs, is there like a beep that happens on the headset? Like, okay, that type of beep, I know X coach wants to talk.
No, I mean, I have access to defense and offense, so if I'm on the defensive side, any one of those coaches have access to talk to me at any time. But when you're getting personnel from a coach upstairs, nobody talks. When you're getting information about 2 minute or a red zone or anything else like that, nobody talks. But in between that, the coaches say, hey, coach. The ones on the sideline are easy, but the ones upstairs, if I ask something like how many times have they run the ball in this personnel or that personnel, I get answers, but everybody's not talking at the same
time. Is there hold?
They all have access.
Is there hold music, like please hold for Todd Bowles, something like that?
There is no hold music. I wish it was hold music at times, but there is no hold music.
You could program it. So just to clarify, I know there's, because I had done some research on this, there's maybe seven teams that have a full-time clock management person, at least that's their title, so that you're actually interviewing potentially to have somebody in that role
yes.
full-time?
Yes.
Okay. Another one from Ira. Todd, if your edge rush takes a huge step forward in 2025, how could that impact your overall strategy on defense, particularly the way the secondary plays?
It would really help us if we could rush the passer with four guys. I think we didn't start out that way. Other than Yaya on the outside, I'm talking here, not the inside, but the outside guys. Other than Yaya Diaby, we didn't get consistent pressure from the other side. And at the same time, when you're down a corner in the safety, you got to give them help from somewhere. So when those guys weren't rushing a passer, we decided to drop a little bit more than normal and get pressure from other ways, like up the middle with Levante and doing certain things like that with Canty and moving him around. So we like to get it for pressure with four. That will help the secondary immensely. But at the same time, those guys got to cover better as well. So it's an overall, one hand helps the other. You cover better, you can rush the passer. You rush the pass better, you rush the passer better, the coverage would be better. So it's a combination of both.
Somebody was giving, they tried to add A and B here, and I don't know if that's the case, but they said Bucky Irving, when he was at Oregon, ran really well behind pulling, whether it be guards, tackles, whatever. And Liam did that a good chunk of the time, this guy claimed last year. He thinks Liam did that because, like, okay, Bucky did that well at Oregon. Let's help him out in the NFL. Let's do the same thing to help him get comfortable with the NFL. Was that just by chance, or is that what Cohen does normally?
I can't say it was by chance or what he does normally, because he does a little bit of both. Obviously, we tried to expand the running game this year, so it worked out for us. A lot of people pull guards and tackles anyway. Mm-hmm. I think he did some of that at Kentucky as well. It just happened up working out for Bucky right here this way, and with the different schemes and gap schemes and zone schemes we had, it was good for us to pull some and become mm-hmm. a power scheme that way. So it kind of just worked out that way, I believe.
How often when you bring rookies in and you see, okay, the rookie did really well in college doing whatever, let's try to incorporate some of that to help him out, you know, get him comfortable in the NFL, utilize what he's already shown he could do well?
I think when we scout players, that's one of the things we look at anyway. We never bring in a guy and try to fit a square peg into a round hole or vice versa. We try to make sure we have a vision for him in our scheme, and obviously that's going to be some carryover to what he did in college, because we can see that, and that's why we're bringing him in. So I think it goes hand in hand when you're looking at a guy trying to bring him in here, but we got to have a better feel that way when we bring him in. We just can't bring a guy in and completely make him do the opposite. That doesn't benefit the player or the coach.
I got two more for you, Coach. You want the more personal one, or you want the more football one?
Either one. I'm good.
All right. So Lewis Murphy was on a podcast recently, and he was asked about, you know, hey, fans are kind of hard on Todd Bowles. And Lewis Murphy's like, he's from St. Pete. He was, you know, of course, your coaching intern, and he talked about that. And he was at him. He's like, lay off of Todd Bowles. And he just couldn't believe that there's fans that are hard on you in the way that they are. We see it all the time. Why do you think that is, or does that bother you at all? Do you feel it in town? It's not that they're yelling to throw you off a cliff or something, but for a guy who's won three consecutive division titles, they're a little rough on you.
I don't think it bothers me, because I don't look at media or read media, and I think fans will react the way how they react. When you win, they cheer you. When you lose, you get booed. That's part of sports. It's part of big boy sports and being a coach. You know, you win, you get no credit. You lose, you get all the blame. That's part of it. That's kind of how the system is all over the league. I don't think they're picking on me individually. I don't really pay it much mind. Again, we won three division titles, and I'm 3-for-3, so we're working, we're doing something right. We can be better. We can obviously be better at everything, as can anybody else. I don't think anybody can wake up every day and say they're perfect doing anything and everything they're doing. And I don't care who you are as a coach. The best coach in this league can make a mistake, and the worst coach in this league makes a bunch of mistakes. So I'm not the worst coach in this league. Right now, I'm not the best coach in this league. I'm striving to be that. I think I'm getting better every year. I do think I coach my ass off, and you work hard, and you keep your head down, and you keep it moving.
And my last one, I talked to Mike McDaniel earlier about Josh Grizzard. Even talked to Liam Cohen. I don't know if we can still mention his name, but about Josh Grizzard. And they are adamant that he is a slam dunk pick to be offensive coordinator. What are the slam dunk things that you saw to hire him?
I think he's very intelligent, number one. He's very innovative and creative. He won't just sit there and rest off of last year's laurels. He'll get better as far as tweaking some things and becoming better offensively. He's not shy to ask questions over things he does not know. He will use Carberry and Pucucci in the run game to help him decipher that way. And he's a very calm. He has a very calm demeanor, even though he's boiling on the inside. I think he can handle the pressure and call the games that way and still go for the jugular. I like his aggressiveness as well as being smart. And I think, you know, there's no such thing as a slam dunk right now, but I think it'll help him and benefit him going forward.
You know, you were talking about fans' reaction to you. They have high expectations. Isn't that great to have high expectations as opposed to the alternative?
It is, because I have high expectations, and no one has higher expectations on myself more than me. And I understand the fans' high expectations, and I want them to have high expectations, and that's great. And that all comes with it, so I'm perfectly fine with it.
All right, Coach, well, another trip to the Ira Kaufman podcast. I think Ira might have to be a salary cap casualty after this, you know, just not performing when necessary. But thanks, and hope to do it again.
Ira, I hope you're feeling better, man, because, you know, this not seeing you here at the combine is getting to be a little bit disgusting, and we're going to have to talk about this. And I'm bitterly disappointed, although I know you're going to bounce back. But I'm starting to think that you're starting to fake these things so you can go golfing on the weekends.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, Lee, that was a lot of fun sitting down with Coach Bowles here. He was loose, We chatted with him a little bit before, and then we got rolling. And he took some nice shots at Ira there.
Poor Ira.
Which is fun. He was very firm, you know. He thinks he's coaching better than he ever has before. Bowles mm-hmm. said that. He thinks he's getting after it, and he's doing a good job and doing his best, and that's all that matters. And he said, you know, I don't really care. I don't read media, whatever, but he understands that fans have to vent and do their thing, and that's part of the NFL big boy stuff.
Yeah. You know, I can't argue with what he said because, you know, if you look at the view from 10,000 feet, an objective view, he's improved his win total every year. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't look at it that way, but I get it. You're not wrong. Yeah. You know, you didn't win your playoff game.
That's
it. You won it for the year before. He's being judged by the fans as, you know, where are we going? Made it round two now, this year round one. But, you know, he's confident. And Jason Light, I will let everybody know, is going to be a guest on the next Ira Kaufman podcast. And we talked to Light about Bowles and fan perception. And Light was slapping you around a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I can preview that, I guess.
Sometimes I deserve it. Sometimes it's fun. This is both.
So we're here at the Combine. I think Bowles is very confident, and Light is certainly very confident in the building of the roster. And he tried to emphasize multiple times today, Light, that, you know what, yeah, we can go get Myles Garrett. He didn't say Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Or we can go, you know, attack these guys, but then what? You know, we're trying to win big now and every year, and you do some of these moves, you throw away the every year part of it mm-hmm. when you start tossing draft picks and big money. And
yeah, he explained in great detail that he believes the roster has a really good core of young players. And he said if one more draft, like he had the last two, he said the Bucks he thinks could be contenders for years. But if he goes out and gets a Myles Garrett, whomever, as an edge rusher, well, then that throws a monkey wrench into the future. And he's got to balance that.
I get what he's saying, but I got to call BS on some of it.
Well, I believe if you got a chance for a Super Bowl, you know, how many times did Dan Marino has said, you know, oh, I went to the Super Bowl my second year in the league. Oh, this will happen. Never did. So you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know what's going to happen now. And so I believe, and I understand what Jason's saying, but I also agree with what you're saying. There's a little bit of BS there. You got a chance to win a Super Bowl. You got to go do it.
Yeah, well, he's got to believe that whatever the guy, whoever the guy is
going to be the difference.
Can
maker.
He put us over the top? Now, yeah. If he doesn't believe that, I get it. Doesn't mean this guy might not make us better, but if he doesn't think it's the missing piece or pieces, I get it. You know, I get it. The fans won't like it, but, you know, the winning long term, you know, the better you are in the draft, the harder it is to trade those picks.
Mm-hmm.
When you suck or you are building strictly through free agency, it's much easier to throw the picks away. So, but we've seen teams like the Rams throw picks away for years, and all of a sudden here they're right back.
Yeah.
And they kill it in the draft with later round picks. And I don't know. Last one, Lee, before we get out of here, here at the Combine, we have plenty more flowing this week.
Downtown Indianapolis.
At JoeBucksFan.com, plenty for fans to read and catch up on. And this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Feel free to subscribe, leave a review, and also feel free to reach out to the Sage on X or Twitter at iKaufman76. Send him some healing vibes. Ira really is under the weather. You know, with that interview with Todd Bowles, we asked Ira, look, you want us to get you on the, you know, we'll hook you up. You know, we'll get you on live here.
On the phone.
Yeah, I mean, the technology exists, Ira. And he's like, no, I'm not up to it. You know, so I felt bad for him because we did that once before, you know, when he couldn't make it here a few years ago.
His
wife was ill. Yeah, so healing vibes to the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. He'll enjoy Todd Bowles making fun of him, though. He'll love that. Lee, last Bucks nugget of the day, and it's an intriguing one. Fresh news, although I feel like an idiot because I didn't really dial it up sooner when I had some whiffs of this, but Rob Gronkowski, a reporter out of Denver today, says that he is interested in returning to football. Now, Gronk was on his Dudes on Dudes podcast with Julian Edelman, and I was listening to it. He's wearing a Rays jersey, and he lives in Tampa. He's got his business in Tampa. His parents live on the west coast of Florida. He works out with Baker Mayfield and other guys, obviously has great feelings about Tampa.
Does he still have that condo with his gorgeous girlfriend?
I don't know where he lives, but they're still together.
Yeah.
So he said on that Dudes on Dudes podcast, he was talking about how man, I'm hitting the gym harder than ever. And I'm sure he said, and I feel part of them, even when I played, I feel great. And I was talking to my brother about making a comeback, or I think his brother was like saying, hey, hell, you should get back after it. And Gronk at the time last week was like, well, you know, it's just talk. And they didn't dwell on that subject. But now this report comes out. So apparently Gronk has interest in Denver because he built a relationship with Sean Payton during their years broadcasting when Payton was on.
Years broadcasting.
Their year.
It was like, what, three months?
Yeah. And I think Payton did the whole season, yeah, on Fox. You know, obviously Gronk has said all the right things in other interviews. I like Denver, what they're doing, Bo Nix, blah, blah, blah. But reality is the Bucs are a perfect fit for him in so many ways.
Yes. Well, you said it right there. He's been on record several times just, you know, oh, I love Baker Mayfield. Baker, you know, he's a big Baker Mayfield fan. He works out with Baker. I can just imagine that Gronk comes back, gets his 87 back, has to give like $40,000 to Payne Durham to get his number back. Hey, Payne, come on now. You could use that $40,000. You're getting married. It's just too delicious not to fantasize, but who knows? I mean, I don't want to see that guy playing for freaking Sean Payton.
And, you know, realistically, I do think it's a very exciting potential fit. Is Gronk going to be brittle and all that stuff? That's a whole nother discussion. But if he's on the field, they've got guys at tight end who have shown a little flash.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Culp late last season, Durham, you know, but it's mostly been Cade Otton. And Gronk's going to help in the blocking game. He's going to take wear and tear off Otton, which they say they've been trying to do. And we don't know if Josh Grizzard wants to run more tight end and goes back to more two tight ends. And we don't know, as we mentioned earlier, you know, Chris Godwin.
Well, that's part of it, Chris Godwin. And about Cade Otton, in case people don't know, he's played an insane amount of snaps
the
last couple of years. Not last year, I know he was hurt. But when he was healthy, he was like logging like 98, 97% of the snaps. That's a boatload of snaps for a tight end. You know, it's going to catch up with you. And maybe it did last year. But let's be real here. I don't care if Gronk is old. I don't care if he's brittle. You put Gronk on the field, no defensive coordinator is not going to attest for him. But you leave him open, he's going to burn the hell out of you, even though he's old, even though he's brittle. So you're going to have to, you know, put somebody on him that just opens up things for everybody else.
So it's a fun fantasy, and that's what it is right now. I'm sure if Jason Light were sitting here, he'd say, well, how much money does he want? That would be the question number
one.
And that's the question, always question number one this time of year. All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is out. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, Florida's Elite Restoration. Sage, be well, and hopefully we'll see you next time.